I loaded up. This is getting a little scary here. Watching the Reagan Library now around Simi Valley, California. These California fires, they've now had to evacuate the Reagan Library. I know they're doing everything humanly possible to save the library. I mean, there's history in there. But there's been mandatory evacuations. Firefighters working as hard as they can to battle the flames. If you can see, they've sort of created a circumference. The winds have been up high the last couple of days. You can see now, even on the picture the Fox has, the trees blowing, and that's not good because the embers then pass here and there. But they got helicopters and firefighters. I mean, we had an update on this yesterday. Just brutal. Glad you're with us. 800-941-SEAN. You want to be a part of the program today? We'll load it up. We have Lindsey Graham, Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz, and Bill O'Reilly in the Matt Gaetz case. He has now filed an ethics investigation issue for Chairman Adam Schiff for violating House rules. We'll get to all of that today in the course of the program. I will tell you that we're beginning to see cracks in the Democratic armor. Now, I had told you, remember, Pelosi was going to hold the vote, and then they didn't hold the vote. And then I got reports back, my spies in the room telling me, yeah, there are about 27 to 32 Democrats saying, hey, this is a bad idea. This is not going to work out well for us. Well, first we'll go to Area 51, Roswell Rachel Maddow's conspiracy channel, known as MSDNC, an extension of all things crazy hoax, conspiracy theory, Democratic Party stuff. Tom Brokaw has now spoken out. He was on, I guess, Andrea Mitchell's show. I've never seen Andrea Mitchell's show. Anyone ever see Andrea Mitchell's show? Anyone want to ever see Andrea Mitchell's show? I couldn't think of anything more boring in my life than watching Andrea Mitchell. Anyway, he's saying Democrats don't have the goods on President Trump. He literally said that. They don't have the same kind of clarity, he said. It would, you know, like during Watergate, because it was so clear that these were criminal acts that he was involved in. And Mitchell concurred, there's no evidence yet on par with Nixon's Oval Office tapes that showed Nixon was involved in a cover-up. Tapes were considered the smoking gun. Well, Brokaw says there is no more taping systems in the Oval Office. That we know. So he's basically saying you people are dumb. He's been there, done that, seen that. And I am telling you, this is all good for Donald Trump. It's uncomfortable. It's unfair. It's not just. It's corrupt. The whole thing, this, you know, Soviet style, you know, secret, everything secret, impeachment coup. And then we went into great detail on the program yesterday about this fake, phony, fraudulent, this resolution that the Democrats are passing around. They're trying to create an appearance of fairness and trying to make it something that it's not. It is the exact opposite of what Newt Gingrich offered the Democrats and Bill Clinton in 1998 during the impeachment hearings. The Democrats steadfastly refused to be fair, and it's getting worse every second, minute, hour of every day. And I'm just telling you that this is going to backfire and blow up in their faces. You know, all the hyperventilating and the hysteria reporting. We got to know somebody else was on the call. They heard it. They heard it all. And they heard the call. And they think it was bad. They thought it was terrible. This is shocking, a shocking new development. It doesn't matter what somebody else thinks of it because we have the transcript. Well, he might have also mentioned Biden more. I tried to get it adjusted. He did mention Hunter Biden more. Well, Hunter, what the president did on this call is not only was it the perfect call, I guess maybe the president said it the right way. It's the perfect call because the president actually, we now know that Ukraine was involved in 2016 election interference. I thought Democrats cared about the issue of foreign election interference. That's what they've told us for the last 3 years. And the president saying all this stuff, CrowdStrike, the Ukraine was at the heart of this. Well, we have a court decision in Ukraine where the courts in Ukraine found that there was election interference to help Hillary Clinton. Uh-oh, that's a problem. Can't have. We had Russian interference in the 2016 election. We have a bought and paid for dirty Russian dossier, one that was never verified. And when they finally got around to verifying it, they found they were able to disprove well over 90%. They proved none of it. Zero. We have a dirty dossier. Nobody cared. This is how sick you have to be. What a phony, hypocritical, you know, political hack. And that is the whole media mob. You have to forget all of that and just say, no, the dirty dossier doesn't mean anything. We're worried about the other election interference, the one that Trump was involved in. He meant to, apparently they had a meeting with a Russian. Oh, my gosh. Wow. Russian. Now, Ukraine was at the heart of election interference. Well, we don't care about that. You know, there's one House Democrat that's speaking out now. This is going to get interesting. And you got a guy in New Jersey. His name is Jeff Van Drew. Now, Jeff Van Drew is like this 30 some odd Democrats that are in districts that Donald Trump won in 2016. These people are looking at this as a suicide mission. And he's smart enough to speak out about it. What's going to be interesting to see is how many other Democrats that are in Trump won districts that maybe want to actually do something for the country, see this for the madness that it is, and they're not going to participate in it. We'll see if they even have the vote tomorrow. I had thought it was 100% they were going to impeach him. I just said, all right, they're going to impeach him. So what? Let you know, it's painful. It puts the country through a lot. It's so corrupt. They're impeaching him over doing the right thing. Because on the call, the president says, can you get to the bottom of whatever Ukraine knows about election interference of your country against my country? He is faithfully executing the laws of the land. He's doing his constitutional duty, upholding his constitutional oath, faithfully executing. And when he asks about Hunter and Joe Biden, well, there was a quid pro quo. And that is Joe Biden bragging on tape. This is the most amazing thing to me. Is that the media mob says it's a conspiracy theory. It's not a conspiracy theory. It is Joe Biden bragging on tape how he shook down Ukraine. And he says, you got 6 hours. So arrogant, by the way, but that's an aside. You got 6 hours. You fire that prosecutor or you're not going to get the $1 billion. If you fire the prosecutor, you get the $1 billion. You don't fire the prosecutor, you don't get the $1 billion. That is a quid pro quo. Why would a vice president of the United States of America ever want and demand and withhold and leverage $1 billion of our dollars to fire a Ukrainian prosecutor? Well, we find out that his son Hunter is making millions from Ukraine and happens to be being investigated by that prosecutor. Oh, now it makes perfect sense. And the dope was dumb enough to go on television and he is asked the question, do you have any experience in Ukraine? No. Any experience in oil? No. Any experience in natural gas? No. Any experience in the energy sector? No. What experience do you have? Well, I once sat on a board at Amtrak. What, dad got you on that board too? What experience do you have to be on that board? So he has no experience in being paid millions of dollars, millions. Now his dad in a quid pro quo shakedown demanding the firing of a prosecutor. If it was Donald Trump, vice president, and Donald Trump Jr. getting the millions, I promise you it would be a big deal in your corrupt media mob and those corrupt Democrats led by the compromised, corrupt, coward, and congenital liar, which is Adam Schiff. And I'm going to tell you something here. You have to suspend any connection to reality to be where the mob and the media is today and where Democrats are today. And yeah, this is disgusting. This is repulsive what they're all doing. It is sick on a level that I never thought I could see in this country. Frankly, scares me for my country. Because if this crap on top of all the other crap that they've done with the deep state and their other coup attempts, if this continues, we're not going to have a constitutional republic that can stand. If you have intelligence officials abusing the powerful tools of intelligence that we give to them and empower them to use against enemies, foreign and domestic, if they turn the tools of intelligence against us, that's a problem. Anyway, so you got this House Democrat from New Jersey. Name is Jeff Van Drew. And he said that he hasn't seen anything impeachable. He's likely not voting for this stupid resolution. I'd imagine I'm not voting for it, he said yesterday. He said, obviously, Trump's going to be impeached here, and it will go to the Senate, he said. And I believe that in the Senate, he will be vindicated. So we will have the same president, the same candidate, who has now been vindicated. He said that to CBS News. Then he added, and I'm not sure what everybody wants as a result. And I also think we've spent a lot of money and a lot of time, and we haven't been able to get a lot of things done. And now there are other wavering Democrats, according to Fox News, Kendra Horn from Oklahoma, Joe Cunningham, South Carolina, Anthony Brindisi, New York. He's in a Trump district in New York. He knows that his fate is connected to this sickness, this madness, this psychosis. And I don't think Kevin McCarthy is too far off, because he now put out the warning. The Epoch Times had this about Nancy Pelosi. She's going to lose her power. And I'm just telling you, the country is watching this and they find it repulsive. Now, the inner sanctum, the swamp, the mob, you know, they're this insular world in which they live in. They've insulated themselves off. They cordoned themselves off. They talk to each other on social media and they try to outdo their hatred of Trump. And they live in this bubble world of theirs. They have no idea what this is doing to the American people. They're sick of it. They're fed up. They're disgusted that this is happening in their country. They read the transcript and they say, oh, they're looking into Ukraine interfered in our elections. Good. The president's trying to get to the bottom of it. They look at Joe Biden, the real quid pro quo. And they're saying, holy cow, why would a vice president? Oh, his son's getting paid millions. No experience at all. They see what that is. That's buying favor and influence. How hard is it to figure that out? Anyway, McCarthy points out it only takes 19 seats to win the majority. 31 Democrats sitting in seats Trump carried. And we're going to carry those again. And what's more important is watching the Democrats as now they approve of the very impeachment every time they get a primary opponent. Watch Max Rose, congressman, who said impeachment was wrong, he added. Now he's changed the entire system. You're not innocent until proven guilty. And again, it's being run by a congressman that's compromised. That would be the cowardly, corrupt, well, the compromised, corrupt, coward, congenital liar, Adam Schiff. Now, Republicans are now beginning to go on offense. They're blasting this Soviet-style impeachment coup attempt. We're watching the corrupt, compromised, coward, and congenital liar blocking witnesses, feeding them answers, saying witnesses can't answer that question. You can't answer that question. They come up with a phony resolution now that's not even a resolution. It's a meaningless resolution. Even Pelosi said that. And it's blown up in their faces, as it should. And on top of that, we have in the background something called the FISA report, Inspector General report coming out. Oh, and there's a report out today. Yeah, they're not going to like this part, but a Durham investigation insider says indictments are all but certain in the Durham investigation. Yeah, they make that is now a criminal probe. All of this is coming, and it's all coming sooner than later. We should. I am told for certain, well before Thanksgiving, we're going to get the FISA report. But I'm sick of it. Right, as we roll along, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN. Kerry Pickett picked up the House Minority Whip Steve Scalise. Well, even he's calling it Soviet-style process. I call it the secret Soviet-style impeachment coup attempt. He called it the Soviet-style process that Speaker Pelosi and Adam Schiff, who we referred to as the compromised, corrupt, coward, and congenital liar, have been conducting now behind closed doors for weeks. By the way, I get a daily update. I have my spies. They're called sources in media terms. We actually do real journalism on this program that the corrupt mob will never do because they're so abusively biased and full of rage and hatred of all things Trump. Anyway, we've been highly critical. Andy McCarthy makes a good point today. You can't just focus in on the process because at the end of the day, it's the substance that's going to win the day. And then it doesn't matter when they hysterically, breathlessly say another person didn't like what was on the call. Well, we have the transcript. What is the president doing? He's saying, get to the bottom of this election interference. And by the way, what the hell is Joe Biden bragging about with his son, Hunter? Now we know that, yeah, there was a quid pro quo with taxpayer dollars. To be a Democrat, you just have to ignore that as if it didn't happen, because Democrats refuse to include that real scandal in any investigation. That's how abusively biased and corrupt they all are. 9:25 to the top of the hour. Big show. Lindsey Graham is coming up. Senator Graham of South Carolina, top of the hour. Jim Jordan, who's been on fire, and he, along with Mark Meadows and Lee Zeldin and Scott Perry and Matt Gaetz, anyway, well, at least those guys, Republicans on the three committees who've taken part in this closed door witch hunt, they are ripping these people, the so-called witnesses, you know, apart one by one. And the GOP, they've cross-examined many cases, significantly weakened what the Democrats were trying to get them to say. And it's backfiring on them big time. But none of those lawmakers are going to be included when the intelligence community interviews and witnesses in public take place in coming weeks. Because you have the corrupt Speaker of the House. Then, of course, we have the compromised, corrupt, coward and congenital liar Adam Schiff and company here. They're going to get rid of two of the three committees, the Foreign Affairs Committee and Oversight and Government Reform Committee, that have been interviewing witnesses privately. And they're literally simultaneously having hearings at the same time, so they can't be in two places at once. Now, we also have the update today that Congressman Matt Gaetz, he'll join us with Jim Jordan later, along with Lindsey Graham and Bill O'Reilly today, but he filed an ethics complaint against Adam Schiff for his handling of the impeachment inquiry. Anyway, I'm bringing in Chad Pergram is with us. Now, Chad he works with us at Fox News. And Chad is the definitive voice on the happenings in Washington. He should publish a book called The Hitchhiker's Guide to All Things D.C., because if you need to know what a process is, or, for example, The Hitchhiker's Guide to Matt Gaetz's ethics complaint against Schiff, he puts out these Hitchhiker's Guide updates to Fox News Channel personnel, and it's full of information. I've stolen it on more than a few occasions, not stolen it. Of course, I give credit. But he knows everything about every process in D.C., every single nuance about how bills become laws and how the votes take place and resolutions take place. And we welcome him to the program because there's so much going on there every day, just to update us. Chad, how are you, my friend?
Good afternoon, or as I've been saying the past few days, I'm impeachy.
Oh, good grief. That's corny, but funny. A lot going on there. Tell us what's happening today.
Yeah, well, right now, in the past 35 minutes or so, the House Rules Committee has started to prepare this resolution for the House floor tomorrow that will formalize the impeachment process. You know, this is very controversial, Sean. Obviously, Republicans, as you alluded to, don't like the process. They think it's unfair. What they're doing in the Rules Committee right now is going through and trying to amend the Democrats' resolution, offer alternatives here to say, okay, give the minority some more rights, give the Judiciary Committee more rights, the Intelligence Committee, whatever, you know, even the president and his legal counsel. Those are the types of proposals. Now, the way that the Rules Committee works, and the Republicans did it the same way to the Democrats when they were in charge, is the deck is really stacked here. It's 9-4 in favor of the Democrats, and the Republicans, as I say, did the same thing. So this
with one caveat, though, because Newt Gingrich adopted the Democrats' process in the impeachment of Nixon and allowed all of those things that you're mentioning and more and afforded that to the Democrats and the attorneys for Bill Clinton in 1998.
Right. And that was a very different process. You certainly didn't have the Intelligence Committee involved. And that's where Republicans have been very critical of the Democrats, saying that they're too involved and they don't like how Schiff is handling this. What you had in 1998 is the Judiciary Committee took Ken Starr's report. And in the middle of November of 1998, there was a hearing, House Judiciary Committee hearing, where they questioned Ken Starr. And then you had this very unique moment where David Kendall, who was President Clinton's attorney, came and he kind of cross-examined Ken Starr. And so if you had that scenario here, nobody knows who would question, you know, the accuser. Would they question the whistleblower? Would they question Adam Schiff? You know, that process is very unclear and very ill-defined and not reminiscent of what happened in 1998.
Well, I think this is all important because the bottom line is what you're saying is they will not adopt the same fairness and rules and considerations and due process that were given to Bill Clinton by the Republicans, by Newt Gingrich's Republican-led House at the time in 1998.
That's right. And the one thing that will be similar is that when they do get to the Judiciary Committee, how much opportunity does the Judiciary Committee have for open hearings, and as you say, the process, due process for the president, and then secondarily, the Judiciary Committee inevitably, Sean, will write the articles of impeachment if it comes to that. They will write the, they're not going to have the Intelligence Committee or the Oversight Committee do that. That will be the Judiciary Committee's purview.
Well, we do have one Democrat warning that this is a bad idea, and that's Congressman Jeff Van Drew. And Fox News is also reporting Kendra Horn from Oklahoma, Cunningham, South Carolina, Brindisi from New York are all skeptical of the impeachment inquiry. How big of a possibility of a break from the, well, radical Pelosi squad AOC Democrats do Republicans expect, if any?
We're expecting 228 yeas minimum on this. You mentioned about four or five of the members who have been skeptical of this. I spoke with Joe Cunningham, the freshman Democrat from South Carolina, last night, who flipped a seat from red to blue, and he indicated that he was supportive of the resolution. But some of these other freshmen, you know, they're very vulnerable. They're in Trump districts that the president won in 2016, and then they won in 2018. Kendra Horn, you know, this could be a tough vote for her. Certainly Van Drew. Van Drew has been probably the most skeptical of the bunch. And I would also mention Colin Peterson from Minnesota, who's not a freshman. He's been here since 1991, but President Trump carried his district by 31 percentage points. I was told late last night, Sean, that they only think they're going to lose two or three Democrats on this. And the fact that the House effectively has 431 members, that means the magic number to pass something is 216. If you're at 228, you got it going away.
But you got to imagine, too, if they bring articles at some point, which I would imagine they might, then they vote again, correct?
Yes, yes. And this is something that concerns a lot of Democrats here, because they are worried that the Republicans are going to weaponize this vote against them. In other words, I've been seeing emails all day from the NRCC, that's the National Republican Congressional Committee, the national arm in charge of getting Republicans elected to the House. And they've been going through just not those five that I've mentioned, but many others from vulnerable districts and targeting them. They're going to document this vote and try to boomerang this around on those members going into to 2020. The reason some Democrats are skittish, even though they're going to vote for this, is this has been described colloquially around the Capitol as an impeachment resolution. They're afraid, Sean, the Democrats are, that the public is going to perceive tomorrow's vote as impeaching the president, which it's not. We're many steps away from that. And number two, though, you know, they were told by the House Speaker, the moderate Democrats, a couple of weeks ago, we're not going to have this vote. So is this a risk for some Democrats? They're supportive of it, but they don't like the, you know, how this is being conflated with impeachment. You know, the language, you know, could get distorted in the view of the public.
And then we have Matt Gaetz filing the ethics complaint. He specifically, as your Hitchhiker's Guide to Gaetz's Ethics Complaint points out, cites rule House Rule 23, House Rule 11, then other subsections of House Rule 11, 2G and 2C, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. So he's given very specific examples. It seems like what everything that he's pointed out happened. Where does this go?
Yeah, well, the Ethics Committee would have to decide if this is an actual, you know, if they think there's some there and they want to actually investigate this and impanel an investigative subcommittee, as it's called. Rule 23, to point out to the listeners here, that deals with the decorum of members and what Gates is alleging that Schiff did when he gave that kind of theatrical reading of President Trump's phone call with the Ukrainian President Zelensky. Gates is arguing that that fell below the decorum of the House, that he shouldn't have done that, that was unbecoming of a House member. Now, that's going to be up to the, you know, Ethics Committee and then the full House. If Schiff were to be sanctioned, it's up to, it's a two-step process there. So that's a little bit up in the air. The other area, it's unclear if Gates has much of a case here, and here's why. So Gates and other Republicans barged into the closed-door depositions last week. They were not members. Some of these members were not members of the committees conducting them. Now, House Rule 11-2G-2C says that members can sit in on open hearings. Open hearings. Let's think about that for a minute. If they're not a member, but if they're going to be excluded, there has to be a full vote by the House. Well, Sean, not to split the atom too much here, but that was not a, quote, hearing. And it was definitely a closed session. So even though Gates is making that argument, he might not be on as firm ground with that as he might be on the issue with Rule 23 regarding the decorum of members.
All right, Chad Pergram, our Hitchhiker's Guide to Everything in Washington, D.C. Sir, always love having you. Thank you so much for your time.
Always glad to do it, Sean. Thank you.
All right, 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. Look, let me tell you what this is. This is a let's throw everything up against the wall, sham, let's bludgeon Trump. We never got over the 2016 election. We don't have a real reason. We didn't get what we wanted from Mueller, the FBI, the House Intel, the bipartisan Senate. Let's do this one. And it is a hyper-partisan, unilateral subpoena power, unequal participation, secret Soviet-style impeachment coup attempt. This is what this is. And by the way, there will be, the American people understand, they can read the transcript. There's nothing that anybody else needs to say. There's no witness that we need to hear from. And, Schiff, for example, blocking key witnesses from answering Republican questions yesterday. This resolution gives pretty much unilateral authority to the compromise, the corrupt, the coward, the congenital liar Schiff. It gives him full power. Democrats refuse to include anything involving Hunter Biden in their Ukraine impeachment probe. Why did Hunter Biden get paid millions? Why did Joe Biden, in a shakedown quid pro quo, use taxpayer money to insist on the firing of the prosecutor that we now know was investigating his own son? Why is that not a big deal to them? Because they're not honest brokers. They're not fair brokers in all of this. And I'll tell you, the impact on 2020, we already see some data emerging. We have one new poll, hypothetical matchup, Morning Consult, Politico. Biden's so-called lead over Trump was cut in half if he can ever get the nomination. We have a pro-Biden super PAC in the Washington Times piece today, run by a registered foreign agent. Oh, that's great. We have 7 in 10 American voters, though, that believe America's first agenda. They believe in it. 7 in 10. You have auto workers, a Breitbart article, saying Democrats, they've figured out that they will destroy union jobs. Union rank and file realize that Trump's trade deals are working for them. And they like it because they have the good paying career jobs at stake for all of them. Of course, they don't want this to go. Why would they want it to go away? They're feeding their families. They're saving money for their retirement. They don't need government anything. Interesting what David Axelrod had to say. He said Biden is in the candidate protection program. He's running a 2020 campaign as if he were in the federal witness protection program. Also trashing his bewildering defense of his son Hunter's business dealings in foreign countries. They have him in the candidate protection program. And he said it was headlined the zombie campaign. I don't know if you can do that. I don't know if you can get through a whole campaign that way. Either he can hack it or he can't hack it. You're worried the candidate can hurt himself. Talking to a reporter, that's a bad sign. He's right. And all of this is behind closed doors. They're not going to put any of this public. They're not going to give Republicans rights here. But I'm telling you, all of this is going to work out in Trump's behalf. And let me just give you another backdrop to this. There's a Fox News piece out today. A source with knowledge of John Durham's investigation into the origins of the Russian hoax, has told Fox News that indictments in this case are a near certainty. You do not impanel a grand jury at this point unless you are going to indict. Durham is at a point where he knows he has crimes. And now the question is how many people were involved. And they have a pretty good idea of that group of people and what the charges can be and whether or not they can get some cooperators. Another source telling Fox News that the Justice Department Inspector General's report, Michael Horowitz, that is forthcoming also. I'm told now it's going to be like a week before Thanksgiving. All right, so that's good. All right, let's see what that report says. And meanwhile, Fox News learned that Durham is very interested in questioning John Brennan and James Clapper. I think we're getting close to where this is. The walls are beginning to cave in. On top of that, I mean, Sidney Powell has had a wild 5 days in her defense of General Flynn. I think that's about to blow up in everybody's faces also. And get this. Finally, somebody is doing their job. Chuck Grassley, Iowa. He decried Comey's failure in the Hillary server probe. And guess what? He says he's taking over. He ripped Comey saying, you missed the key evidence in the Clinton investigation and I'm going to find it. And he's seeking the identity of Hillary Clinton's State Department staffers who deliberately transmitted classified information on the server. We may actually finally get justice after all this time.
Resolution. Banning the whistleblower is an unpatriotic action. They shouldn't even go near that.
Oh, okay. Hour two, Sean Hannity Show, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number, speaker in name only, Pelosi. The resolution is not an impeachment resolution. No, it's a one-sided document that they tried to pull the wool over the American people's eyes. It does nothing of what happened with Bill Clinton in 1998. It offers none of the protections that Newt Gingrich and Republicans offered Bill Clinton in 1998, and same in the Nixon years. It is a sham document vote that they're going to supposedly have tomorrow. And she says outing the whistleblower is an unpatriotic action. Well, I disagree. I think the whistleblower, non-whistleblower, hearsay whistleblower that contacted the corrupt, the compromised fact witness, which would be the coward, the congenital liar, Adam Schiff. We'd like to know what the office contact was with the whistleblower, what instructions were given. Did they actually pick the attorney for the whistleblower, non-whistleblower? And did they tell the hearsay whistleblower what to do with the inspector general that got all of this started? In other words, did they collude in this effort? Because as soon as that comes up, well, you'll see that the compromised, cowardly Schiff, well, he's got himself an ethics problem. Anyway, Matt Gaetz bravely today went after him in a big way. We'll tell you more about that. But, you know, we would not have gotten this document from the Democrats yesterday, as corrupt and one-sided as it is, without Senator Lindsey Graham's resolution. And he got 50 signatures on it, which is that the whole process is corrupt to begin with. Senator, welcome to the program. Not only was it corrupt then, I think it's more corrupt now because they're trying to create an illusion of fairness. But at the end of the day, everything still is in the hands of the compromised leader of this witch hunt, which is Adam Schiff.
Yeah, you're dead right. So let's compare what they're proposing tomorrow with what happened with Clinton and Nixon. There's never been an intel committee involved in impeachment for a reason. So under this resolution, the intel committee is the lead investigative committee. The president's lawyer is not entitled to participate in the intel hearings. Intel committee will send a report to judiciary. The damage will be done in the intel committee. The president is locked out from having legal representation, and Republicans on the Intel Committee cannot call witnesses unless Schiff agrees. It's completely different than what happened to Clinton. It's completely different than what happened to Nixon. And the goal of this thing is to try to legitimize an unfair process. It's still unfair. This is a sham. This is really a crumb of due process, not even a half a loaf. And let me tell you, Democrats who vote for this, you're voting for a process that would destroy every president in the future if you legitimize this.
It's not an Andy McCarthy writing on National Review Online makes a great admonition. And that is, OK, the process is important. But at the end of the day, if they had the goods on Trump, the process or how unfair the process was in the end would not impact what the feeling of the American people are. And I'm watching the media and the Democrats. Wow, we got another person that is saying they didn't like the transcript. But at the end of the day, Senator, we got the transcript. We don't need to hear from anybody. Their opinions really, as smart and great as they might be, don't matter, do they?
No, they don't, because the most transparent president maybe in my lifetime has been Donald Trump. He gave 1 million documents to Mueller. Everybody around him testified.
I don't want to be technical. He gave 1.5 million documents. But why split hairs among friends, right?
Yeah, right. He allowed his own attorney, the White House counsel, to be interviewed on and on and on. And he releases the transcript of the phone call. So the lieutenant colonel, I don't question his service to our country. He's entitled to his opinion about the phone call. I'm entitled to mine. The phone call to me is absolutely fine. I find no fault in the phone call. I've yet to find anything to suggest that the president did anything wrong regarding the Ukraine. We give these people like $400 million a year. It's okay to ask about corruption because they're on the receiving end of a bunch of money. That's his job, the president's job. So the colonel's view of the phone call is his view. I can tell you right now, there's not one Republican, and I mean one, that I think would vote for impeachment in the Senate based on the phone call. Not one.
Kevin McCarthy is warning that impeachment will cost the Democrats their House majority. I agree with him. Your thoughts?
Probably, because what happens here is that after Mueller, they won't avoid the election. They're sore losers. Mueller spent, $25 million, 40 FBI agents, a couple years, nothing, no collusion, no obstruction of justice, no prosecutable offenses. Now they got this phone call BS, and it is BS. Read the damn thing for yourself. The president of the United States, in my view, had a very good phone call with the president of the Ukraine. Now, what's the backlash? I think the backlash is that most people want us to work on their problems, try to make their lives better. They want us to work together. And it's pretty hard for the president to work with Democrats who are at every week of every month trying to impeach him.
As I say, every second of every minute of every hour of every 24-hour day, week, month,
accurate.
And year.
Yeah.
Listen, this and there was a great piece out. I don't know if you saw it by Byron York that 2 hours after the president's inaugurated, they actually built an impeachment site for Donald Trump. 2 days after he was elected, the word impeachment was coming out of the mouths of people. That's how sick this has been. But when you get to the substance, now all of a sudden we know from a Ukrainian court decision, and we know there's a great Politico article from January 11, 2017, and Ukraine admits it, that they interfered in our 2016 elections. The president, after 3 years of Democrats saying this is important, we got to get to the bottom of it, is asking the Ukrainian president to get to the bottom of it. To me, he is faithfully executing the laws of the country by doing that. Not only was it a perfect call, it was the right thing to do constitutionally in upholding a sworn oath.
I think every Republican in the United States Senate believes that the phone call is not an impeachable offense. Some people find it troubling. I found about 90% of Obama's administration troubling. If troubling equates to impeachment, we're never going to have another president serve a full term. The bottom line is I'm not troubled by the phone call. I thought it was a good phone call. You got to remember this. The one person that Joe Biden wanted fired in all the Ukraine happened to be the prosecutor investigating a company his son was a board member of without any real knowledge or background of the subject matter. If a Republican had pulled this stunt, people would be all over us. So Durham is looking at this aspect. I'm sure.
I want to get to that in a second because I have an update.
Yeah.
All right. Here's part two of it. Now we have Joe Biden on tape. There was a quid pro quo. Joe Biden admits to a quid pro quo.
Right.
You're not getting the $1 billion. You got six
Unless
hours.
You fire the prosecutor.
Unless you fire the prosecutor. Okay. Son of a B, right. They fired him. All right. They got right. their billion. He had a quid pro quo. Then you find out, well, why would a vice president of the United States of America want a prosecutor in Ukraine fired? Well, we find out that his son, he does an interview. You know, he got paid millions of dollars. Any background in energy? No. Any background in Ukraine? No. Oil? No. Gas? No. Why do you think you got the job? I don't know. You think it's because your last name is Biden? Probably. Now, Democrats refuse to include this. Now, to me, that is buying favor, influence, the same in China with Hunter and Joe. Why is that not being investigated by the media and the Democrats?
Well, the media is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Democratic Party when it comes to Trump. Just look what you just described. You described a situation where you had a sitting vice president threatening to withhold aid to a country unless a particular person was fired, a prosecutor. That prosecutor was investigating a company that the vice president's son served as a board member. That fact pattern in Republican hands would blow up the entire nation. They excuse this. They say, well, the French and the Germans believe the prosecutor was corrupt. I don't know if they did or not. And the prosecutor may have been corrupt, but they marginalize this. They write it off as a non-event because it gets in the way of the narrative about Trump. The goal is to get Trump. They don't give a damn how they get him. They don't care what kind of procedures they use. And the media is dead when it comes to the Trump administration covering him fairly. They have died.
I said journalism was dead in 2007. I had no idea how right I was.
Let me ask you this,
because I got to be honest, Senator. I'm just a little sick and tired of waiting for the Horowitz report on FISA abuse. Now, we hear it's coming in the next week or two. I hope to, for goodness sake, I hope it happens. But here's what I want to ask you. Do you stand by the Grassley-Graham memo that the bulk of information, the FISA application, was Hillary's bought and paid for Russian dossier put together by Christopher Steele?
Yeah, I mean, according to McCabe, it was without the dossier, there'd be no warrant issued. That's what he said under oath.
Correct.
So let's play that out. So I'm going to ask Horowitz, and you know, it's coming. I know you get tired of hearing that, but he's done. They're looking at the classification part of it now. So the first thing I would ask Horowitz, near the first anyway, is the dossier. Let's look at it. How much of it is verified today? None of it. None of it is verified by intel sources. Some of it's verified by media reports that were leaked by the intel community. All the salacious stuff is unverified to this day. So if 90% of it's unverified to this day, how could you get a warrant?
Let me ask you this then. Okay, now we know again that when the FBI finally did get around to verifying it, they were able to disprove over 90% of it. Well, this is the top of a FISA warrant says verified. So that means, and how many warnings were the DOJ, I know of at least three, and the FBI given not to trust the Steele dossier? How many warnings did they have?
Well, I know in August, the guy was his wife.
Bruce Orr.
Yeah, okay, Bruce Orr put the system on notice.
Correct.
This guy really is after Trump.
August of 2016.
Steele goes to the State Department in October.
Kathleen Kavalak.
He's got a political bias. So there's a couple I can think of off the top of my head. But here's the point. They made no effort to verify the dossier until after they applied for the warrant.
But they used it as the bulk of information. But here's the other point. We also know, they finally got around to investigating the veracity of it. They disproved over 90%. They proved none of it.
To this day.
And in an interrogatory in Great Britain.
Right.
The author of the dirty Russian dossier that Hillary paid for, Christopher Steele.
That I couldn't verify it. Yeah.
I have no idea if any of it's true. That's what he said. I have no idea.
You're like the only guy in the country that knows this stuff cold, but it's all going to come out. And
I'm a loser. I know. Say it. Hannity, you're a loser.
No, you're not. So here's the point. We're trying to prove to the public that this warrant was obtained outside normal procedures. It was obtained in a way that's dangerous to the future of the country. If you have a political document paid for by a political party, a foreign agent hired by a political party against the nominee of either party, you should take some care and attention to it, wouldn't you think? If you open up a counterintelligence investigation on a major nominee of either party, shouldn't you take some care and time and attention to make sure you know what you're doing?
Such a good point.
I cannot believe that they opened up a counterintelligence investigation against the Republican nominee this shoddy. I cannot believe they got warrants against his campaign associates with a procedure this shoddy.
I want to ask you about that on the other side. Lindsey Graham is with us, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. Jim Jordan, Matt Gaetz. By the way, Matt Gaetz today filed an ethics investigation on the corrupt compromise shift. We'll get to that. Bill O'Reilly coming up. 800-941-SEAN is our number as we continue with Senator Lindsey Graham on the other side. All right, as we continue with South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham, we did have your counterpart. We love Tim Scott. He's such a great guy. You got great peeps down in South Carolina. Trey Gowdy's down there. Let me ask you this. You mentioned the Durham investigation. There is now a number of former high level, this is on FoxNews.com, that the Durham investigation, Obama administration officials could fall into the investigative crosshairs of U.S. Attorney John Durham, and basically an insider saying indictments are all but certain. I'm not going to go out on that limb. Let's see what he has in the end. But I want to say this. You can't have a counterintelligence investigation, Senator, without it being approved of by the president of the United States. Is that correct?
I don't see how you can have one that he's not knowledgeable of. So can you imagine this, that the nominee of a major party is being in, you know, counterintelligence investigation of their campaign that the sitting president doesn't know about?
Well, Strzok and Page said it in a text impossible. That the White House wants to be updated every step of the way.
Yeah. And here's the point. Did Brennan and Clapper, what role did they play in the counterintelligence investigation? Who pushed the dossier to be put into the intelligence assessment if it's still not verified? There's so many questions about Papadopoulos. If you've had a photo with President Trump, you spent more time with President Trump than Papadopoulos did. So
it's
this
true.
Whole thing just
poor guy
just smells bad. And
I got to leave it here, but I'm going to tell you something.
Yeah.
I want this audience to understand. You got to listen to what Senator Graham is saying more closely, because he's giving away more, but he has to speak in code.
okay.
All right. But listen, I'm going to take you, Gowdy, and our good friend, Senator Scott. We're going to go to Hall's Steakhouse one day, and I can't wait to take you all there.
I can't wait to go. Thanks. Take care.
All right, Senator, thanks for all you're doing. 800-941-SEAN is our number.
Gives unprecedented power to the Intelligence Committee Chairman, Adam Schiff. That's deeply troubling to me for a few reasons. First, Adam Schiff has proven in this process that he cannot adhere to the fundamental principles of fairness. And second, and I would say most important for my work today, is that Adam Schiff has violated the ethical rules of the House of Representatives. Rule 23, Clause 1 and 2 of the Code of Conduct for members of the House of Representatives requires that we engage in conduct that brings credibility on the House and that we don't impair the credibility of the House. When Adam Schiff engaged in a theatrical retelling of President Trump's conversation with President Zelensky to deceive and disorient the American people, he acted in a way that was not consistent with House rules and was not consistent with House ethics. And so now, on the eve of a vote that will give unprecedented power to someone who does not deserve it, today I'm going to go file an ethics complaint against Adam Schiff for violating Rule 23 of the House. Adam Schiff has also violated Rule 11 of the House. Rule 11 requires that if you are going to expel a member of Congress from a hearing who does not intend to participate by asking questions, that you are required to hold a vote on that measure. Adam Schiff held no such vote when he expelled me multiple times from simply being able to observe what the heck was going on. And so right now, I'm going to go to the Ethics Committee and I'm going to file an ethics complaint against Adam Schiff, because if House Democrats tomorrow are going to give this man an unprecedented amount of power in this process, they're going to know exactly how he has departed from the rules of the House and how he has fallen short of the ethical standards that should apply to this institution.
Chairman Schiff has prevented the witness from answering certain questions we have during the deposition. You know, one of the things you do in these depositions is you ask the basics: who, what, when, where, why. You ask those questions. when we asked the whistleblower who he spoke to after important events in July, Adam Schiff says, no, we're not going to let him answer that question. This is not classified. He tells us that the witness has their counsel there, their lawyer there. They don't need Adam Schiff being chairman and lawyer. But that's in effect what happened today.
All right. That was Matt Gaetz and Jim Jordan, two of the Freedom Caucus warriors that are out there. Thank God for the Freedom Caucus. And we have Congressman Gaetz. He has filed an ethics complaint against the compromised, corrupt, coward, congenital liar that is Adam Schiff, the liar that, you know, said for 3 years, oh, we've got all the evidence on Russia collusion. No, you don't. You had nothing. Very specifically, he points out House Rules 23, 11, etc., and gives all the specificity and details you just heard there. That was also Jim Jordan correctly, and he added to the point that the impeachment vote won't change a thing. They're putting lipstick on a pig, and how the whole system has been corrupt from the get-go. But on top of all of that, the substance of it, there's no reason to impeach the president, because the president on that phone call was trying to get to the bottom of what a Ukrainian court told us and what Politico told us was Ukrainian election interference in 2016. And even though the mob and the media and the Democrats don't want to deal with it, well, we have Joe Biden on tape using taxpayer money in a quid pro quo shakedown. You don't get the billion unless you fire him in 6 hours. Son of a bee. They fired him. And then, of course, we have Hunter Biden. No experience. Millions of dollars. Why? I don't know. Do you think maybe it has to do with the fact that your dad is the second most powerful elected official in America, the vice president of the United States? Probably. Okay, if that was the Trumps, you think the media mob and Democrats would want to impeach him? Anyway, joining us now, Jim Jordan of Ohio, Congressman, Freedom Caucus member, also caucus member Matt Gaetz. Matt, we'll start with you and this ethics filing today. And on substance, you're 1,000% correct.
Well, thank you so much, Sean. Adam Schiff is going to prepare a report that the American people cannot rely on. And Nancy Pelosi is giving this unprecedented amount of power to Adam Schiff, and he doesn't deserve it. The rules of conduct of the House of Representatives say that no member is allowed to act in a way that impugns the credibility of the House of Representatives. I cannot imagine something more damaging to the credibility of the House of Representatives than Adam Schiff, in an effort to overturn the will of the American people, reading a fake false transcript to try to pollute the minds of the good folks in this country as to the conduct of our president. It is very clear from reading the transcript, from hearing what President Zelensky said in his own words, that President Trump did nothing improper. He put no unethical pressure on the Ukrainians or illegal pressure on the Ukrainians. He was doing his job to root out corruption that stemmed directly from the Obama-Biden administration and the Biden family. So I think that Adam Schiff should not be subject to a lower standard of ethical conduct than every other member of Congress. And I think the Ethics Committee should have to rule on this question. And I want Adam Schiff's unethical conduct in the minds of those 30-plus Democrats who represent districts that Donald Trump won. They go to the floor tomorrow and either vote to end this absurd process and start working on lowering prescription drug prices, passing the USMCA, getting an infrastructure bill, helping rebuild our vibrant economy, or are they going to continue the investigation and impeachment strategy that leaves the American people holding the bag?
And Jim Jordan, I thought you were fabulous in your comments, and the added comments, you know, putting lipstick on a pig were dead on accurate. But, you know, you went into detail at this press conference yesterday about how, you know, this compromised, corrupt coward who won't come on this program, known congenital liar, Schiff, you pointed out you never saw anything like this. Devin Nunes said the same thing when you asked who he spoke to after important events in July. No, we're not going to let him answer that question. What is that?
No, it's I've not seen anything like this, where you have a witness. He's under subpoena. It's Adam Schiff's witness, but only Adam Schiff gets his questions answered. When we ask this witness very important questions, like, who did you speak to after these important events that took place in the month of July? And he was not allowed to answer those questions. And here's the bottom line. Adam Schiff is running this secret unfair process in the basement of the Capitol. He's preventing the witness from answering certain questions because there are four fundamental facts that
have always been there and will not change. Matt said this. We have the call transcript, no quid pro quo whatsoever. We have the two individuals who were on the call, President Trump and President Zelensky, saying no pressure, no pushing, everything was fine. In fact, they're talking about draining the swamp in Ukraine like President Trump is draining the swamp here in Washington. And then we have the fact that Ukraine did not know at the time of the call that aid had even been held up. And finally, the most important fact, tell me what Ukraine did to get the aid turned back on. Tell me what they did. Did Zelensky do a press conference? Did he do a statement? Did he say, well, we're going to do certain events? None of that ever happened. And most importantly, the one testimony we are allowed to talk about, Special Envoy Ambassador Volker, he told us in his deposition and his transcript, he told us he confirmed those four fundamental facts. And because those facts will not change, have not changed, those four fundamental facts,
Go through these again slowly so everyone understands exactly what you're saying.
The transcript, we have it, as Matt said. You can read the transcript. Tell me what conditions were placed on there, what quid pro quo was there. There wasn't any. You have the two individuals who formed that transcript call, the two guys on the call, President Trump, President Zelensky. Both have said, no, there was no pressure, no pushing, no conditions whatsoever. At the time of the call, July 25th, the Ukrainians didn't even know aid had been withheld. And then finally, the fourth fact is they didn't do anything to turn the aid back on when it was turned back on on September 11th. So those facts are so fundamental to this idea. Because remember, when Pelosi and Schiff started this, they said this call transcript is going to show that there was this quid pro quo. That's how they were pitching this whole thing. And then the call comes out, and even some Democrat chairman said, well, there wasn't a quid pro quo on the call, but we got to keep looking. There are still problems. And that's what this is all about, stirring up whatever dust they can stir up. But there is nothing there.
Well, I mean, we know there's nothing there in the call. If anything, what I read in the transcript is clear. And that is the president is faithfully executing his sworn duty, constitutional oath, which is very obvious. I thought all these people were upset about foreign election interference in the 2016 election, but yet they ignored the dirty Clinton dossier. That they had that little hypocrisy going on at the same time. And we also know that they ignored all of this as it relates to Hunter Biden. How do you say it's a conspiracy theory when Joe Biden's on tape and Hunter Biden's on tape? And if this was the Trumps, you know that this would be the biggest story. And they probably have a case at that point. But the hypocrisy is breathtaking to me, Matt.
Well, Sean, this is Matt. I would tell you there is not a single American, including Hunter Biden, who believes that Hunter Biden was hired for his merit. Even Hunter Biden admitted when he was interviewed that his last name likely had a great deal to do with why he was being engaged in this project. But you speak of hypocrisy. Democrats, while clutching their pearls, would have the American people believe that this is all about critical aid to our important ally, the Ukraine, and Donald Trump abused his power by blocking his aid. You know what, Sean? We got $250 million in aid to the Ukraine in the National Defense Authorization Act that Democrats won't bring up, won't negotiate, and won't send to the president because they're so focused on impeachment and investigation. This is the same Democratic Party that has issued more subpoenas than they have passed bills. And so the lack of sincerity, the hypocrisy is so thick you could cut it with a knife.
If we're beginning Democrats to see, really though. Cared, yeah, it's
move but that defense bill.
We got Tom Brokaw literally saying on the Roswell Rachel Maddow Area 51 Conspiracy Channel, MSDNC, we got Brokaw actually admitting they don't have the goods on President Trump in this impeachment push. Uh-oh, that's a problem. Then you've got this one House Democrat, Jeff Van Drew, says, I imagine I'm not voting for this, he said, well, obviously he's going to be impeached here. It'll go to the Senate. In the Senate, he's going to be vindicated, so we'll have the same president, the same candidate who's now been vindicated. And then he added, I'm not sure what everybody wants as a result here, and I also think we spent a lot of money and a lot of time and haven't been able to get a lot of things done. Now, it also goes on in the Fox News article to say from Oklahoma, you've got Democratic Representative Kendra Horn, and you got Joe Cunningham from South Carolina, and Anthony Brindisi from New York. They're beginning to say, what's going on? I've heard Jim Jordan behind the scenes. You've got about 30 Democrats saying this is a dumb idea. Are they going to get their arms twisted and go with this?
Well, remember, Sean, the reason you're seeing this from some of the Democrats is in less than 13 months, the American people are going to walk into that voting booth. And at the top of the ticket, they're going to punch the button in these districts these guys are from. They're going to punch the box and mark the box for Donald Trump. And the very next question down below is, who do you want representing you in Congress? And do you think that same person who just voted for Donald Trump is then going to turn around and vote for someone who moved to impeach the president we all elected, again, just a few years ago in the election coming in 13? That's the question that they're facing. And to this point that Matt just talked about, hypocrisy, here's the biggest hypocrisy of all. 5 weeks ago when this whole charade started, Adam Schiff says, we're going to need to hear from the whistleblower. He was talking about the whistleblower. And today he says, no, we don't need to. New York Times wrote a big piece. We don't need to hear from him. What has changed in the 5 weeks? What changed Adam Schiff's mind? Namely, we learned that Adam Schiff is the only person who knows who this guy is and that his staff met with him. And Adam Schiff was misleading us when he told us that he had no contact with the whistleblower. That's the only thing that changed. So you got 435 members of Congress, and only one of them knows who the identity of this individual is. And when you look at the whistleblower's complaint, he talks about the handful of other U.S. officials who he talked to who formed the basis of that complaint. And Adam Schiff and his staff are the only ones who know who that person is and who those handful of people are. We're not allowed to know. The American people are not allowed to know. We're not allowed to bring them in and question them. That is as crazy and hypocritical as I've ever seen. But that is exactly what is going on.
All right, as we continue, Jim Jordan, Congressman of Ohio, Matt Gaetz had to drop. Bring us back inside what is going on in this secret Soviet Union-style impeachment coup attempt. And you might want to comment on this, quote, resolution that is anything but fair. It is... Go ahead.
No, you're right, Sean. It's not fair. It's trying to put a ribbon on an unfair process, a process that denies the minority rights, denies us the ability to see the transcript unless we make a special appointment. Even guys on the committee make a special appointment. You got to have a Democrat staffer looking over your shoulder as you're reading the transcript. Denies the president any type of due process. So this is as unfair as it gets. I think the American people instinctively understand that. American people get fairness. And then in this room, again, we talked about this a little bit ago, but the biggest concern was yesterday when Adam Schiff prevented the witness from answering our questions. And it was simple questions, basic questions about who did you talk to, the kind of questions that get asked in every single deposition ever done. But he prevented us from doing that. And, here Adam Schiff gets to call the witnesses. And then when he's in, only he gets asked the questions. Tell me how that's fair. And I think the American people, as I said, understand it. And
so corrupt.
This whole charade.
God there are guys like you there. You've been a rock star in this. We can't thank you enough. We'll get regular updates.
We appreciate what you do, Sean. Thank you.
All right. Congressman Jim Jordan of Ohio, 800-941-SEAN, toll-free telephone number. You want to be a part of the program. Bill O'Reilly at the top of the next hour, a news roundup, information overload. Your call's coming up. 800-941-SEAN if you want to be a part of the program. And all the other news of the day that we haven't gotten to yet, straight ahead.
Stay right here for our final news roundup and information overload in the final hour of the Sean Hannity Show.
Well, I think the thing people should be asking themselves, especially if you're a Democrat and you're on the Judiciary Committee, is where is Jerry Nadler? Nobody's seen him for like 2.5 months. He's like the missing man in action. So clearly, Schiff and the Intelligence Committee Democrats, they've completely obliterated the Intelligence Committee. It's now known as the Impeachment Committee. So, that resolution is just more of the same. And I'll tell you, you mentioned that you haven't seen this in your, many years in radio and TV. I have never in my life seen anything like what happened today. I mean, they've been bad in most of these depositions, but to interrupt us continually, to coach the witness, to decide whether or not what we're going to be able to ask the witness. I mean, we don't even get any witnesses at this point, and it doesn't look like we're going to get any ever. But to not let us ask questions, I've never ever had that. And to see someone coach a witness, this isn't the first time that Schiff's very good at coaching witnesses. Remember, he also met with the whistleblower. So this is just unprecedented.
All right, news roundup, information overload hour. That was Congressman Devin Nunes on Hannity last night explaining there's never been a process like this. To me, process is meaningless, except that what we have here is you've got a compromised, corrupt, coward, congenital liar in charge of this now new witch hunt. based on a transcript. I mean, they get all giddy and they get all excited. We got another witness that didn't like the transcript. They didn't like it. And they were scared by it. This is huge. We get to read the transcript. And what I read is a president of the United States doing what they said, liberals said that they wanted, faithfully executing the laws of the land, asking for information about Ukrainian election interference, because we have a Ukrainian court decision that says that their government was involved in election interference to help Hillary Clinton. Similarly, I doubt very much that if it was Donald Trump involved in a quid pro quo, a shakedown, withholding, saying he's going to withhold $1 billion taxpayer dollars, unless you fire this guy, this prosecutor, you got 6 hours. You're not getting the $1 billion. You got 6 hours. And, well, son of a B, they did it. And we find out that prosecutor's investigating his son. Anyway, here to weigh in on all of this, Bill O'Reilly. His new book is going gangbusters. It's Donald Trump, the United States of Trump, how the president really sees America. Mr. O'Reilly, you know, I bet days like today, you might wish, you maybe you're glad. Who the hell wants to be in this every day? It's madness.
I'm not paying attention. I'm getting my costume ready for Halloween.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. What are you dressing as this Halloween? Bill O'Reilly?
Adam,
scare
Adam
everybody?
Schiff. Adam Schiff, and I got to get the shirt with the collar too big. So it's not easy to get one of those. So I'm going as Adam Schiff. I'm going to scare the kids.
You scare the crap out of them. By the way, did you ever hear Schiff on tape talking to a guy that he thinks is a Russian?
No, I don't really follow him, but I can imagine.
All right, Bill. Now, remember, he was the guy that was lying. I've got all the evidence. I got all the evidence.
I got him. I heard that part of it.
No, you did. You heard the tape of him saying he thinks he's talking to a Russian. It's a Russian prankster. And he literally, let me play
it for
you.
He's getting pranked, sure.
Met with Trump in New York at some point after the 2013 Miss Universe pageant.
Absolutely. And she got compromising materials on Trump after their short relations.
Okay. And what's the nature of the compromise?
Well, there were pictures of naked Trump.
Okay. And so Putin was made aware of the availability of the compromising material?
Yes, of course. Buzova shared those materials with Sobchak, and Sobchak shares those materials with Putin because she's a goddaughter of Putin. And
right, compromising materials. What's the nature of the compromise? Pictures of naked Trump. Does Vladimir know? He's colluding with a Russian.
It sounds like Rocky and His Friends, starring Adam Schiff.
It really does.
Yeah. Hey, if you come to my house trick-or-treating tomorrow and you live near
me. Too scary.
Yeah, I'm giving out, in addition to candy, I'm giving out Impeach the Media bumper stickers, which you can get on BillO'Reilly.com. I got a big stack of Impeach the Media bumper stickers.
Yeah,
we've got them on BillO'Reilly.com.
Trick-or-treat.
Yeah,
everyone's going to be rushing to Bill's house for Halloween.
But I get good treats, too. I mean, I'm not a cheap guy. But anyway, look, I tell my my audience on BillO'Reilly.com and in my columns and stuff, I said, look, this isn't doing the country any good. So I want everybody to just take a step back. So get out of the ideology of it. Get out of the corruption of it, in the sense that it's not fair. Everybody knows it's not fair. New poll out today, USA Today poll. Half the country says leave it alone. Not we don't want him impeached, to say walk away. Walk away. That's a lot for a poll that has more Democrats than Republicans in it. So anyway, it's not doing the country any good. And it's going to hurt you because the president needs to get the China deal done. He needs to continue promoting the United States economically, get the EU deal done. And he's got to deal with this every single day. And this is not hurting. This is not helping you, the American person. So unless they have something, which at this point they don't, all right, let it go until you do have something. You have something, Americans will pay attention. Right now, you don't have anything.
when you read the transcript, I mean, that's why all, you know, parading in one guest after another, well, behind closed doors and then selectively leaking. I look, my sources are in the room. I'm getting a full accounting every single day. What's going on there? And 95% of this is going really badly for the Democrats, but it's like they can't stop themselves.
The 5% that is damning to Trump is leaked immediately, right. And the media just, you know, voraciously puts it on page one and then leads with it on cable news. But I think everybody knows the fix is in. I think everybody knows this is not fair. It's not American. It's not how we operate. And so it's going to help Donald Trump unless something else comes out. But my theory now, after listening to your sound bites at the top of the hour here, is if Joe Biden is elected president, the day after he's sworn in, he has to be impeached for what he did in Ukraine, right?
Bingo.
You got to impeach him. So
correct.
Biden goes down to the parade in Washington and, you know, he waves and everything, goes in the Oval Office, and the next day he's served
Bill,
with impeachment.
Bill, you and I will be on the parade route. You can wear your Halloween costume of Schiff, and I'll be holding up a sign, impeach Biden. How's that?
Look, think about it. If what Donald Trump did is impeachable by trying to get the Ukraine to cooperate in a Justice Department investigation, which is real, then Joe Biden telling the Ukraine you're not going to get $1 billion unless you fire somebody, that's impeachable too, is it not? Why wouldn't it be?
Mr. O'Reilly, there's too much logic in what you're saying, but let's get down into the substance of it here.
All right.
When you read the transcript, transcript. So for 3 years, the Democrats said, well, foreign election interference can't happen. Well, we have Politico reporting January 11, 2017, and we have a Ukrainian court saying that the Ukraine admits that they helped Hillary Clinton against Donald Trump. That's election interference. The president saying, OK, well, we've been through three years of this crap. Let's get to the bottom of it. And I don't know, how does the media bifurcate simple, basic, fundamental truth of Joe Biden on tape? Well, Joe Biden's on tape admitting a shakedown with our tax dollars.
They don't care. I mean, you know that. There's no fairness. Look, I mean, so I write in the United States of Trump that the president's obsessed with finding out exactly what happened in the 2016 election. All right. So he, as the chief law enforcement officer of the land, wants to know, how did this happen? How did they trump up, pardon the pun, all this Russian collusion stuff? So I'm going to ask my Justice Department to find out. Certainly legitimate.
This is legitimate.
Yeah. So then he says to the Ukraine president, hey, I'd like you to cooperate. And if Joe Biden's involved, because Biden was a point man to Ukraine, we'd like to know about it. All right. Isn't that legitimate? Wouldn't anyone do that? Yes. The answer is yes.
The answer is hell yeah.
This thing is so phony. And then, you know, the only deficit to Donald Trump, and I told him this personally, eye to eye, when I was talking to him, because in the United States of Trump, I have 5 interviews with him, and he is crazed about finding out who is behind, because he thinks Barack Obama, I'll tell your audience, President Trump thinks Barack Obama is behind this Russian collusion thing.
I think, let me add to that. Remember Andy McCarthy's new book, you can't have a counterintelligence investigation, and that was what Operation Crossfire Hurricane was.
Right.
Without it beginning with a president
right.
in the Oval Office. That was Barack Obama.
But to understand the anger and the obsession that Donald Trump has with this, you have to understand that he believes it was Obama who was behind it, and that it's his quest in life to expose that. That's what this whole story is about. That's what it's about. Donald Trump wanting to expose Barack Obama for trying to undermine his campaign and his presidency. That's it. And when the American people understand that, when they come to the realization that this is what it is, then the only way to resolve it is to let the Justice Department present the facts of the case, which they're putting together.
This guy, Lee Smith, we'll have him on the program tomorrow, has the definitive behind the scenes story of all of this. And it all
fits. In a book. It's a new book.
It's called The Plot Against the President.
Yes.
Now,
and I read a big excerpt on that book actually last night.
I read it too. It's great.
And the book aside, and people read it if they want to read it, but for me, I want to know what the Justice Department's going to present. I want to know what they've got. Because once they do that, all of this, the impeachment, the Russian collusion, the press hating Trump, all of it will then be exposed and the facts will drive what happens next.
And Bill, I got to take a break here, but I will say this. Everything that we have uncovered on this show and on Hannity the last 2.5 years is all true. Everything that we've reported. Everything
then you're going to get a Pulitzer Prize.
Okay,
the Justice Department.
By the way, you put on your costume as the cowardly Schiff, and you instantly become a liar like he is, a congenital liar.
No, I'm going to put you up for it.
Oh, that's the O'Reilly's nominating Hannity. That's going to go real far, Bill. Just stay in that fantasy Halloween land you're in right now. All right, quick break. More with O'Reilly on the other side. 800-941-SEAN, toll free number. We continue with Bill O'Reilly. His book is doing really well. A huge bestseller on the New York Times list, The United States of Trump, How the President Really Sees America. All right. Let's say these idiots impeach him because I think they're gonna. And then let's say we know he's going to the Senate's never going to convict him. I don't think the Senate will even bring it up. I think they'll dismiss it because the process is so corrupt and one sided. OK, how does it, in your view, impact 2020?
Well, it helps Trump. If there's nothing more than that, what they have now, which is not impeachable, and they go through the process and then in the Senate dismisses it or votes to not convict, then Trump's going to have a huge campaign issue. And he'll go around and he'll say, look, the other party, not only are they crazy socialists, but they're corrupt and they try to undermine my administration. So don't reward them. It's a
my analysis is this. I don't think Trump has lost anybody that voted for him in 2016. I think that now that his policies, his tax cuts, his promises, originalists, he's building the wall, trade deals, defeating ISIS, taking out Baghdadi, all of that combined, he's done it all. And 7 million more Americans are working and 7 million are off of food stamps and millions are out of poverty. I think he's got a shot at a much bigger victory. Again, if he doesn't get in his own way in some of these issues.
How much time do we have?
30 seconds.
Okay. The president needs to hold regular sessions where he addresses the American people one-on-one, not through the media, not yelling with a helicopter. And he needs to explain exactly why he does what he does. If he uses those fireside chats, I think you're right. It'll win.
The United States of Trump, BillO'Reilly.com, Hannity.com, Amazon.com, bookstores everywhere. When are you going to Huntington? I guess I'm going to introduce you or give a 10-minute spiel or something.
I have guys that are going to kidnap you and take you there December 15th, Sunday. December 15th, Paramount in Huntington, Hannity, O'Reilly, and others. Going to be a blast.
All right, Bill, thanks. Quick break. Your calls straight ahead as we continue.
Hi, I'm Eduardo Noret with Campus Reform. Today we're at Georgetown University to find out if students think Trump should get credit for the killing of ISIS leader al-Baghdadi. All right, so do you think President Trump deserves credit for the killing of the ISIS leader al-Baghdadi yesterday?
Oh, God. No.
Personally, I don't think so, but I also have not read up a lot about it.
How about you? Do you think he deserves credit?
Donald Trump.
I'm going to take that as a no. Do you think he deserves credit for that?
No. I don't really know much about that, so I don't know what to tell you.
I mean, I guess it happened despite him. So, you know, he didn't f*** it up. Too bad.
I guess in, like, the fight against terror, it's good. It's a considered victory, right? Like, in the fight against terrorists and stuff, so, right?
Yeah. But
so I
not,
guess, but not...
No one really wants
nobody
anyone to
wants
die,
to celebrate the life.
No one wants anyone to kill anyone either.
I mean... I think it's the troops who actually did the real work that deserve the credit.
I think that the U.S. military and armed forces deserve credit.
The troops do. He is the commander-in-chief, so he gets kind of the credit. But intelligence agencies and the troops actually did it. They get most of the credit.
I feel like any president could have killed an ISIS leader. Like, Obama killed Osama bin Laden. Like, you know, like, I feel like anyone can do it. Like, it's just, like, about who has, like, the willpower, I guess.
Who's, like, in charge at the moment.
Yeah.
All right, thanks to our friends at Campus Reform. It really is amazing. You got the world's worst terrorist at this moment, Baghdadi. You know, we've watched the brutality of the terrorism of ISIS. We've watched the beheadings. Well, look, I've watched them. You can see some of them. They're still on. You can still get some of them online. I know most people don't want to watch it. And I'll be honest, if you don't have the stomach for it, don't do it. I watch it because I want to understand the evil behind it. It is at a level that I just don't think that good people can comprehend, because good people don't really understand that evil. They don't understand evil. Why do they not understand evil? Because it's not their nature. And the idea that people wake up in the morning and they're thinking about have no problem cutting people's heads off, it's something that most normal people can't identify with, or putting somebody in a cage and burning them to death, or wiping out the Yazidis and the Christians in northern Iraq the way ISIS did, taking women and children as sex slaves. All of this chronicled and happened. Hundreds of thousands of people dying. I understand. Okay, maybe when you look at bin Laden, you're looking at somebody, he hit the Trade Center. Okay, got it. 3,000 Americans died, the worst attack on U.S. soil. And thank God we got him. I said at the time, listen, I give Obama credit. He pulled the trigger. He made the call. It was a brave, gutsy call, right thing to do. But I did also point out, nobody in the media liked me pointing it out, that we never would have found the location of bin Laden but for enhanced interrogation. That's right. There were three people waterboarded. One of them was Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. And I talked to Jose Rodriguez and others that are sources of mine that saw the enhanced interrogation. They were there in the room. They witnessed it. I have now talked to Jose. I talked to publicly, but others that I know were there and others witnessed it. And that's where we got the name of the courier, because he started talking. Thing about enhanced interrogation, and we also had doctors there, and we also there were very specific guidelines given. No, it's not pleasant. Nobody wants to be waterboarded. Not fun. As Ollie North pointed out, if you're a Marine, you get waterboarded. They make you feel that you feel like you're drowning. That's what it's like. It's just a horrible feeling. And then when you get sick of it, then maybe you start talking. And other people, well, they don't work. They don't tell the truth. No, Khalid Sheikh Mohammed broke, and he told the location of how it is that bin Laden communicated. He wasn't using the internet. He wasn't using telephones. He wasn't communicating that way. He assumed that we'd be able to pick up his communications. So we pick up the courier. It leads us to Pakistan. And yeah, they killed him. Then they gave him a perfect burial at sea. To me, I would not have done that. I would have done things differently myself. I think I would have shown pictures of the dead bin Laden. Let the world see it. Let people understand it if they want to. Just like I have a need to look at evil when I see it. I wrote about in Deliver Us From Evil. I tried to describe, you know, what kind of people go to work every day. These are human beings, but they don't think like we think, and that their job is working in a death camp. And every day the trains roll up and they're filled with men, women, and children. And your job is to keep them calm. And say, okay, everybody off the train, welcome to the camp, blah, blah, blah. All right. And then they purposefully manipulate and create false hope. I described all of this in Deliver Us From Evil. They would create false hope. And they'd say, are there any jewelers here? Oh, great. Come forward. Any nurses here? Yes, you're a nurse. All right, great. We have need for nurses here. Anybody that has any machine shop experience? Great. Raise your hand. We need you. Step forward. And they take everybody's clothes off. They tell you you're going to take a shower. And no, they gas you and kill you. Then they do that every day. That's what they did for a living. Every single solitary day. And they just kill people. And the bodies are wiped out, buried, whatever they do with them. Now, how do you go home that night and look at your own kids? How do you have a nice dinner, a couple of drinks, and go back to work the next day and do it all over again? That's evil. There is somebody that can rape a woman. That's an evil act, or a child. That is an evil act. And there's no other way to describe it. But there's evil in this world. We lost 100 million human souls in the last century. Governments, communism, Nazism, fascism, Imperial Japan, Mao, and how many millions died under Mao in China? How many millions died in the killing fields of Cambodia? Scary. In other news, we have Michael Bodden, who has been a longtime friend of mine. He's really good at what he does. He's a forensics expert and, you know, medical examiner. He's worked on a number of high profile cases. He's had a 5-decade medical career, and he has now looked at the autopsy results of Jeffrey Epstein and the body of Jeffrey Epstein, sex offender, found dead in a federal prison in Manhattan. He says bore the telltale signs of homicide, despite the official ruling that he killed himself.
When did you realize that the Epstein family needed help?
Well, I was asked by the brother, the next of kin, to be at the autopsy. Mm-hmm. And at the autopsy on day one, there were findings that were unusual for suicidal hanging and more consistent with ligature, homicidal strangulation, which included...
And it was suggested at the time that he committed suicide by doing what?
By hanging. At the time he was found allegedly hanging by a homemade ligature of sheets.
Are you saying you don't think it was suicide?
I think that the evidence points toward homicide rather than suicide.
Why?
Because there are multiple 3 fractures in the hyoid bone, the thyroid cartilage, that are very unusual for suicide and more indicative of strangulation, homicidal strangulation.
Mm-hmm. It's a little scary. I have full faith and confidence in Michael Bodden. I can tell you that he's the real deal. I don't even know what to make of that. I haven't spent a lot of time on this. Michelle Obama's comments getting a lot of play that white Americans are still running when minorities and immigrants move into their community. She said, she made the remarks at the Obama Foundation Summit at the Illinois Institute of Technology in Chicago, sit-down interview, and was accompanied by her brother, an executive with the NBA's New York Knickerbockers. And Obama described when she first became conscious of what's called white flight. We were doing everything we were supposed to do and better. She said of her family, recalling that when she got a new address on the Chicago South Side, but when we moved in, white families moved out. I want to remind white folks that you all were running from us, she continued, according to the Chicago Sun-Times, and you're still running, she said. All right, let's get to our busy telephones. Let's say hi to Jeremy in Texas. Jeremy, how are you? Glad you called, sir.
Thank you very much, Sean. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I'm glad you called.
I listen to your radio show every day.
Thank you.
I hear what you're saying. I understand what you're saying. I believe in what you're saying. However, I'm very frustrated because I want to know what I can do as an American to help not only you, but to help myself get this stuff taken care of so it doesn't happen.
You know, honestly, this is a point in my career. You're asking a great question. And I hear almost pain in your voice, thinking what you're thinking about, you know, America, where we are, and secret Soviet style hearings and coup attempts and, you know, spying on presidents and, you know, rigged investigations and Russian dossiers and the duplicity and hypocrisy that is on display, that it's never been this bad in our lifetime. I can say in mine. Listen, I'm going to say this. I share your concern. This is so corrupt. The media mob is so corrupt, agenda driven, you know, psychotic rage has taken over. And the answer to your question is, and most people ask me, well, what can you do? Well, what you're doing now, which is talk about it. And more importantly, I just like to use the analogy of a wheel. I guess at the center of the wheel, you got Donald Trump. He's now leading to take America and advance America in a conservative way that is now showing incredible results. And they want to destroy him. And the effort to destroy him is real on nothing. Not only did he do nothing in this phone call, he did the right thing in the phone call. And they're rigging the whole system to do it. They're upending the country constitutionally. We don't have equal justice. We don't have equal application. I'm as worried as you are. My thing is, though, but we also have, for any wheel, you have the spokes in the wheel. I would say this is, for America, an all hands on deck moment. And that means everybody now get on board. And you better understand here that they want to impeach him, probably are likely going to impeach him. He's not going to be convicted in the Senate. But all hands on deck means you got to vote, because not only would it send the message that you're not going to do this to us ever, because we're not going to take it. You're not going to destroy the country. And secondly, nor are we going to accept your new Green Deal, $94 trillion, economic disaster, Medicare for all, your new socialist policies, your appeasement policies, your get rid of oil and gas policies and everything's free policies and no combustion engine policies and getting rid of cows and planes somewhere down the line policies. So if you just, the most important thing you can do is vote and speak out. Talk to your friends when you're at dinner, when you're at McDonald's. I don't care where you are. And talk and, try and if some people are, I don't like Trump's style. I wish you wouldn't say this. All right, well, is he getting it done? You know, every day on this program, I try to include how successful things are. You know, these are not just numbers. During election year 2016, I mentioned Obama and Biden's failed record. 13 million more Americans, food stamps, 8 million more in poverty, lowest labor participation rate since the 70s, the worst recovery since the 40s, the lowest homeownership rate in 51 years, more debt than every other president before him combined. The reason is I wanted everybody to know those facts before they voted. Now we have 7 million new jobs created. 7 million fewer people on food stamps and millions more out of poverty. Now we're energy independent. Now we've eliminated more bureaucracy than we have in the last 100 years in this country. That creates a business climate. Now a president that has kept his commitment on originalist justices on the border, trade deals with Mexico, Japan, and Canada and our Western European allies, and half a deal with China. The border wall's going up. I mean, that's all his success. And if you love the country and you don't want what they're offering and you don't like the corruption that they have been getting away with, well, you're going to have a say. And we're counting down starting November 3rd in a few days. We'll be counting down on this radio and on my TV show the days till election day. We're also going to put up on Hannity.com everything you need to know about registering in your state, early voting, absentee voting. We're going to make everybody informed. And my hope is that the American people rise up in large numbers and they say, we've had enough of what you have done to this country the last 4 years. Tonight, 9 Eastern, Hannity, Kevin McCarthy, Donald Trump Jr., Matt Gaetz, Michael Bodden. Yeah, he thinks Jeffrey Epstein was killed. He's going to explain why. 9 Eastern tonight, Hannity, Fox News Channel. See you then back here tomorrow.